The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media. Give us feedback on this podcast or ask tech questions by calling the voicemail hotline at 877-414-5856. That's 877-414-5856 to get your questions answered.
What is it that you do, Grant?
Currently, I have been working on indieish.com and CC365. CC365 is a project to get more people interested in Creative Commons music.
Now, see, this is I didn't introduce you at all. I just said, Ponzi, you probably want to tune in, because she asked. She said, "What are you? Who are you talking to?" I said, "Why? Do you want to sit in on the call?" is what I asked. And she said, "Yeah, sure." And she said, "Wait, do I just get to listen, or do I get to interact?" I said, "Well, you get to interact." So,
and this is usually what happens. We say hello, and I'm like, "What's going on?"
We're tag teaming you, Grant.
Excellent.
So, what he's got here, just to clarify, is he's got a project that he's basically kind of like a, you know how you have like a word of the day calendar, and you get a new word, like concur. You rip it off, and this. Well, each day that was a Simpsons reference, Grant.
That was a great word. Can you say that again?
Concur.
Yeah. Can you say that often to me?
Concur. Do you know the Simpsons reference, right, Grant? Oh, you don't?
No, I don't.
I'm not the only one who doesn't watch the
All right,
crap.
Fine. Okay, so anyway, okay. So it's like a word of the day calendar, only it's like songs. And there are songs released by artists that release these songs under a Creative Commons license.
Oh, neat.
So you get to learn about new music every day.
And you get new music every day. That's cool.
Yes, a new song that's free, that's legal to put on your iPod, that's legal to download wherever you are.
That's legal to put in a podcast.
Right? Yes, absolutely.
Ooh. Is that correct? Wait, are they different licenses, though? I mean, they're like, you know, attribution, share alike, non-commercial.
Exactly, yeah. There are some different granular pieces to the Creative Commons, but essentially any of them, as long as you attribute something and you're not trying to make money off your podcast, you can be safe using any Creative Commons.
See, that's where we get in trouble, because we're a profitable podcast. So
if you're a profitable podcast, you can't use any of the Creative
Commons.
No,
not necessarily.
Not necessarily. It just has to not be under the non-commercial portion of the license.
And that's when I spoke at Macworld, I basically released the whole thing under a share alike attribution, I believe. So that means people could use it in their commercial endeavors. I didn't care.
So I have a question. Can you sign up for a feed just to get the kind of daily music that I would want, like just one that I could use in my podcast if I want to? Can you sign up for that?
Right now it's a very eclectic feed. I'm doing one song a day, and it's from a wide variety of genres. I kind of run the gamut from rock to indie pop to I've done some J-pop, some French rap, German rap, some techno and electronica stuff. Sundays I typically do something jazzy just because I like to listen to jazz on Sundays, so I have started forcing it down everyone's throat. And but it is a wide selection of music, so kind of the philosophy behind it is sometime throughout the year we will run into something that you absolutely love. And that's my goal, is to make 2006 the year that everyone finds some artist under the Creative Commons that they are just absolutely in love with.
Well, have you run any of Brad Sucks yet?
Oh, yes.
Oh, you have?
We ran
okay.
Brad Sucks very early,
okay,
and we love Brad.
Oh, yeah. Brad, he's got one song on his album that I really, really like a lot. And when I wrote about it, I basically said, this sucks. But that's a good thing, because it's Brad Sucks, and that's, you know, he sucks. But that's good.
Right.
And it's impossible to explain to someone who
the
hasn't listened to Brad.
The one-man band with no fans.
That's what he says.
Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't go that far. Ponzi was asking what J-pop was, and the only thing that was going through my head was something that has to do with J-Lo.
Oh, no, Japanese pop.
So that involves her Juku
girls? It has a very happy, fun, poppy kind of feel to it. It can be in English, it can be in Japanese, but yeah, it's fun stuff. It's fun music. And I listen to everything. So, I mean, like, literally, you ask people what they listen to, and they go, oh, I listen to a little bit of everything. I really do listen to a little bit of everything, possibly except maybe polka and country.
Hey, now.
And even those, I probably have a few favorites.
Just come on. You know, Weird Al Yankovic really has kept the polka alive. I really believe that.
If he's done one thing in his career, he has made great strides for polka in North America.
I'm a firm polka believer because of Yankovic.
And everybody loves some Patsy Cline every once in a while, right?
Patsy doesn't. Well, she does country. She does. That's not even country.
That's like way old country.
You know, Grant, do you count Patsy Cline as country? That's like classic. No, that's classic.
That's classic country.
It's not like.
I'm going to go with Ponzi here. It's classic country. I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee, so I think that's really why I don't have a big country thing because I grew up there, and it was just everywhere you turned.
I totally understand.
Ponzi grew up in North Carolina, so.
There's more country. Okay. Yeah, there's definitely more country stations there than any other kind. It was like one rock and roll station, one pop, and the rest were all country.
Exactly. That's pretty much what Nashville was like when I was growing up. Yeah.
You know, I listen to white noise. That's just it. You know.
It's good to go to sleep to at night. I'll give you that.
Really? I've never tried that. I just always just like listening. It's got a good beat. You know, I can dance to it.
Oh my God.
If you can dance to white noise, I'd like to see that.
Well, no, you wouldn't want to see me dance at all.
No, you wouldn't.
I'm worse than Elaine on Seinfeld. Well, of course, if you don't understand that reference, then I don't know. I'm trying to.
Oh, no, I understand that reference.
Oh, you got that one, but you missed The Simpsons. Yeah. I can't believe.
I don't know how I missed The Simpsons reference. Like, I should go home with my tail between my legs.
Yes, you should. Well, if you consider yourself someone who watches The Simpsons, you would know that. You should know that reference.
I should know it. You know, I even have the Planet Simpson book on my bookshelf, apparently.
For shame. So, Grant, you've been doing this. You started at the beginning of the year, January 1st.
Yes.
And you've been faithful to releasing a song every day?
I have been doing a song every day. I've had one day where I was a little bit late, but I have faithfully released a song every day. And I've actually fixed a bug in the software that I'm using, so I can now pre-populate stuff without giving away what's coming up next. And so that's making it a lot easier. But yes, we're releasing one song a day, typically between midnight and 3 o'clock in the morning. So depending on your time zone, like, it should be ready for you. In most of the Western Hemisphere, it should be ready for you before you go to work in the morning. It's kind of the goal. So,
now, have the artists reacted to this particular project?
They're loving it. They are absolutely loving it. I've not spent a lot of time trying to contact artists when I put them up, but I have gotten some very surprising. You know, artists have found the site, found the day that they were pushed onto the site, and have contacted me and thanked me for it. Scott Andrew actually got a mention on the BBC on Six Music because of CC365, which was really cool, and so Scott was very very happy about that, and he's actually doing a text interview for me for the site, for indiesh.com, and so it's gone really well. I've been absolutely amazed at the level of response from people, from the listeners and from musicians.
Have you developed software for this? I mean, you made it sound like there was a bug in your system, but...
No, I'm actually using WordPress to do all of the publishing, but there was a bug in the templating system that I'm using, some of the specific template hacks that show upcoming posts, and it wasn't a difficult thing to fix, so let's not make it out like it was, you know, some master coding kind of thing, but it was just fixing an SQL query so that it made sure not to show posts that were updated in the future as already published.
Oh, that's a non-issue. I was hoping to, like, you know, inflame it into, you know, a huge thing, but...
No, and I don't want to say a bad thing about WordPress. I love WordPress.
Oh, no.
For a lot of stuff, and they are fantastic guys. I thank them very much for the work that they do. They've made my life very easy.
So even in doing this for about a month and a half now, or a couple months...
Yes, yeah, we started at 12:01 a.m. on January 1st.
All right.
What have you learned so far in this process? And you're far from finished.
Oh, absolutely. No, we're far from finished. I think I've been surprised at how willing people are to put up with my very eclectic tastes. I think that's been one of the most surprising things. I've learned that there's still a lot of shakeout in the podcasting sphere, because a lot of people are using, you know, podcatchers to get this, and so I've had a couple of issues with different podcatchers not liking the feed or losing the feed and stuff. I've been very surprised at how shaky some of that still is. But, you know, I have learned, really, I think the most important thing I've learned is that the artists really do want to be heard. And that's why they're doing this. That's why they're releasing stuff under the Creative Commons. And every one of them has been incredibly appreciative of getting a wider audience through this.
Yeah, we one of our first shows that we did was interviewing Matt May. He lives up here in Seattle as well.
Oh, yeah, I know Matt. Matt.
You would have to. I mean, it seems... And I think he's just recently reinvigorated his staccato.
Yes.
How would you consider staccato playing into the mix? I mean, for the lack of a better word.
The most recent staccato episode actually featured a couple of songs from CC365, and a couple of other Creative Commons podcasts have picked up on using CC365 as just another source to find new music. And I think that's kind of the beauty of it, is like the larger sources, archive.org or Jamendo, you know, their whole philosophy is to put everything out there, and that's a great thing, and that's where most of my sources are, is finding music published through them. what CC365 gives you, if you don't have the time to sit down and dig through the thousands and thousands of songs that are on Jamendo or Archive, it gives you a pre-filtered selection of songs, and I think that's been good for a lot of listeners that don't really have the time to do some of the stuff like I've done, like Matt May's done, like Biotic has done from Black Sweater White Cat, because it does take a lot of time. I mean, Matt's been sort of in and out in releasing podcasts. I do a show called The Revolution, and I have not kept a consistent release schedule in a long time, and it's because it takes so much time to go through enough music to find the, you know, 8 or 10 songs you're going to use in one single show.
Now, so are you a musician yourself?
I would say no. I play guitar, but I don't play guitar very well, and I haven't played guitar very much in a very long time, so okay. I would say no. I'm a musician want-to-be. How about, we'll put it that way.
All right, that's fair enough. If you were a musician, what instrument would you play?
You know, probably the bass guitar.
Okay. What's your favorite food?
Favorite food would be Indian food from my favorite little Indian vegetarian restaurant here in Atlanta called Vatica.
It's called what again?
Vatica.
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 Yeah, it's a tiny little place, and they have no menu. They just serve you whatever they're cooking for the day. So.
That's cool. Yeah,
Ponzi's trying to convince me to move to Atlanta.
Yeah. Oh, if you come here, it is the best place to go eat in town. So,
do you like Atlanta? What's the weather like?
I love it. The weather's great. This is about the worst time of year, and it's still been mostly sunny days and, you know, 50s for a high, that kind of thing. We do have some crappy weather from time to time, and the summers are brutal if you're not used to them. Mm-hmm. But
so I hear.
It's been so long since I've been there, like years and years, and the last time I was there, the underground was new. So what's it like now? What's it like now? Is it still fun down there?
The underground is actually all bars now.
Is it?
Yeah, it's where there's late-night clubs. Like, they're open, I think, till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just a big party. It's kind of an indoor New Orleans attempt. So Atlanta's changed a lot. I've been here for about 13 years, and it's changed drastically since I moved here. So
I suppose the teenagers get drunk at night and then go tipping CNN anchors.
God.
I mean, well, I don't know. That's what we used to do in Iowa.
I'd pay to watch that.
Well, a lot of people would. No, what I was, and the reason why I asked you your favorite food, do you understand what I was trying to do? I was trying to kind of turn the tables on an interview you recently did with the CC podcaster, or I guess
the interview I did with Taru.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was trying to work my way through that. And the next question that you asked him was, "What is your day job?" And I think it's a very germane question. So
my day job, I right now am currently unemployed. I'm in the middle of moving out of the country, but
it's not that bad.
But you know, it's not that bad. I'm moving for family reasons. My wife's family lives up there, and so anyway. But now I'm moving to Halifax, Nova Scotia. So I'm currently unemployed. But when I am employed, it is as a web developer, programmer. I do a lot of SQL tuning, that kind of thing. I kind of do some more high end towards enterprise level development.
All right. So how did you discover the Creative Commons?
I was doing a radio show for Free Matrix Radio, which is a entirely listener-supported radio station. They take no donations. They're not a 501(c) or anything like that, so they take no money in. Everything is just blood, sweat, and tears, and so everybody works on everything. You know, everyone tinkers with the servers. Everyone works to keep it up. We all donate bandwidth to make it work. And I started doing a show there, and we were mostly using music from Magnitude. And once I started understanding what the license restrictions were and what we were doing and why we were using the music we were using, I went out and looked for a wider variety of music to use on my own show, and that's when I found the Commons. It was right about the time that the Wired CD came out, in like November of 2004, I guess that was. And it immediately struck a chord with me. I think it's such a common sense, brilliant idea, and I have become more and more involved over time in trying to push the ethic of the Commons and push it towards people. So,
okay, now this is your question. I'm going to turn it around. What is your perception of how the Creative Commons license fits the emerging artist?
Well, I think Victor Stone recently said that as an emerging artist, your biggest fear is not piracy, it is obscurity. And I think that's what the Creative Commons, that's the question the Creative Commons answers. is how do you get past obscurity as an emerging artist? Because, you know, a lot of these bands, if they did not have the internet, if they did not have the Creative Commons license, they would likely be playing in their bedroom to themselves, recording their own tracks, releasing them to their friends, or at best playing out to, you know, smaller clubs or working that club circuit and trying to become a larger name. But if you look at the Creative Commons artists that have really adopted the commons and really have adopted that philosophy, like Brad Sox, Scott Andrew, Taru, who I interviewed recently, Victor Stone, a lot of them have gained a very wide audience with their music. And not as any, and this is certainly no slight on any of them, I don't think it's necessarily that their music is that much better than some of the other things that are out there. It's just that it is so much more accessible for the fact that it's released under the commons. And I recently talked to somebody about Brad Sox and how he has such an interesting thing going on, that he has such a two-way street between him and his fans. He feels so accessible to the person that's listening to him. It's almost like you're listening to one of your friend's creations. And I think that's really important for building fans that have the drive to promote you. And they don't promote you for any other reason than the fact that they love your music. They don't do it for incentive. They don't do it for money. They just do it for the love of the music. And I think everyone at a baseline has an instinct to share the things they love with the people that are around them. And I think the Creative Commons really works well with that and makes it a legal transaction to do that.
All right, Grant, who's your favorite musical hero and why?
Favorite musical hero, definitely Elvis Costello, just for such a long and incredible career spanning so many genres of music and doing such a great job at any one of them.
Oh, I thought you were going to say long sideburns, but you took it a different direction. All right, so what are your favorite five artists?
Favorite five artists. Elvis Costello would be at the top. The Cure.
The Cure.
Yeah, I love The Cure.
I love The Cure.
I finally got a chance to see them like 6 or 7 years ago, and it was just... Oh, it was like a religious moment.
You were like the disease to their cure.
Yes, yeah, exactly, okay, right. Exactly. Let's see. So
that's two.
I think probably next on that list, Ben Folds. Absolutely love Ben Folds. To throw a little punk in there, Fugazi, probably my favorite punk-ish band of all time. And to round out the top five, again, on more of the singer-songwriter wide variety of genres, Joe Jackson.
All right.
And now I have to say that I don't know any of those except for The Cure. I've heard of Elvis Costello, but I don't know what his music sounds like. Isn't that awful? I know I should.
You've got a Napster account. You can listen to Elvis on there, I'm sure.
You really should go check some out. Because almost any genre, he's done something that you'd like.
Hmm.
He really has had such a wide career. It's amazing.
All right. Now this is a really good question. And again, not my question. This is yours, Grant.
Right.
What's coming. What were your five favorites when you were 15?
Oh, okay. This is probably
sweet.
Even easier to answer. five favorites at 15 would probably almost exclusively be punk bands. Let's see. I would say Bad Religion, Minor Threat, The Subhumans, and we have to have a little wider. So see, that's the thing. I listen to so much. It's so hard to name a top five. The Cure definitely would have been on the list at 15 and are still on the list. They will probably never leave the list. And cannot complete the top five of when I was 15 years old without the Pixies.
Oh, naturally.
Now I have a question. How in Tennessee did you find out about punk?
Nashville actually had a really good punk scene when I was growing up. That's the amazing thing. It really doesn't anymore. But it had a fantastic punk scene when I was growing up. We had great venues for shows. We had a lot of kids that were involved.
And mom and dad let you go do that?
Mom and dad weren't around so much when I was 15.
So
I kind of grew up with my grandmother, and I kind of got to do whatever I wanted, really. So,
I was going to say.
For better or for worse. So.
Because in the South, they don't really take too much to punk.
We were definitely the freaks, yeah.
You were the cool kids, like in my book, but I was.
That's
never
what
allowed.
I like to think of us as. I don't think many other people thought of us as that, but
you went exploring. That's what's really awesome, you know. Because the South seems like it's just a whole different mindset than any other parts.
Not to say
States.
That everybody who lives in the South is fitting that stereotype, right?
good or bad.
Oh, no. And in larger cities, it really is more like the rest of America. But you drive 20 miles out of a larger city, and yes, she's absolutely right. It's a very old school, very non-accepting culture for the most part. Yes,
but okay. There are great things too. I'm not saying it's all bad. Maybe.
No, I'm just making sure we're not going to offend our two Southern listeners.
Right.
I'm Southern too.
Well, yeah, but you don't count because you've been living in the North for a while. You're a Yankee.
I'm not a Yankee.
Yeah, you are. You're a Yankee.
I'm a Northwestie, whatever that is.
There's no such thing as a Northwestie. Okay, Grant, what's your favorite word?
Wow. See, I wish
no,
I
could no, stop.
Wait, isn't that, that's like an
I think get
a word off the top of my head.
He said
Probably, okay, probably the word I use most often, frankly. How about
frankly?
That?
All right, I'll give you that.
And is that from Rhett?
Gone with the Wind reference there. You know,
he's
frankly,
Southern.
My dear.
Oh,
no.
Frankly, my dear.
Yeah, just because he's Southern doesn't mean he like has even seen. Have you even seen the movie
Gone with the Wind?
Gone with the Wind. Grant,
have I?
Yes,
seen the movie?
You. Yes,
Gone with the Wind. Never all the way through.
See,
oh, my gosh.
Oh Grant, okay. my respect level for you has just skyrocketed.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
I've seen the famous clips.
I know the famous lines.
That's all you need
to
know.
Never watched
That's
the way through.
All you need to know. All you need. And if they ever, anyone ever offers to do, oh, no, watch the special extended edition, don't.
Okay.
Stab him in the foot and run.
Advice taken.
Oh, God. That was just, what are you making faces at me for? She's making faces at me, Grant. All right. That wasn't the reason he used frankly.
Okay.
Now, what's your least favorite word?
Least favorite word, no.
No.
Which one? N-O or K-N-O-W?
Yeah,
N-O. Okay.
N-O.
No. Why? Is it just
because
you
no
use it so much?
No is never a positive thing, or almost never a positive thing. I guess it depends on the question, but...
No.
Depends on the question, yeah.
You know, like, honey, can I get this new really cool piece of hardware for my computer? No.
No.
Yeah.
Well, see, exactly. You know, okay, now I got to teach you.
But
it's
honey,
easier
do
to
you want me to go buy this $8,000 purse? No.
Well, no, of course that's not going to happen.
That would be a good no.
Yeah, but you can't do anything with a purse. Purse you carry around, it's like it just sits there holding things. A computer, you can look what Grant's doing with his computer. He's doing this this site, this resource.
It's really cool.
Yeah, I know it's real cool. By the way, before I forget, it's cc365.org.
cc365.org.
Yeah. So he's doing a really cool thing with a computer. Of course, if he wants to spend $8,000 on a computer, it's well warranted. Wouldn't you agree, Grant?
Absolutely.
See?
That's different.
You need a high-end sound card that takes less CPU intensive processing going on when you're going to the upload, and the FTP is 64-bit optimized. You got to think about all that stuff, Ponzi. You just don't. You can't do that with a purse.
And ball bearing. Ball bearings.
It's also very, very key. It's essential.
Okay, I'm just going to bow to this one nicely.
I try to win that argument there. I don't think I won. No is a good word, though.
No is a good word.
I agree. So what turns you on? Again, these are your questions. I found them very interesting. Creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Good question
smart,
there,
Smart, talkative
Grant.
People. good ideas. And, that'd pretty much be it. Good ideas really turn me on. Good ideas make me want to get up in the morning.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if your honey would whisper, "Hey, I've got a good idea." Oh, all right, Haley. You know, that not that kind of turn on, but
right, exactly.
Not my phrasing here.
It depends on what the idea is. Sometimes that can work too. So
like, how can you say that a computer is not sexy, but then you don't get it when he says
what?
Never mind.
I'm telling her she wants to, we're putting a new computer together for Ponzi, and she wants to get a case that she thinks is just amazing. The problem is that of all the cases on the entire planet, she doesn't like one.
Because it doesn't make sense. Like, okay, I look at the cases now.
Cases
and
aren't
the nice
supposed
ones,
to make sense.
No, listen. The nice ones all have doors, like, to cover up the stuff that, you know, you put in the drives and all that.
Yeah.
If I want to open it, I have to leave that stupid little door hanging open. So why would they do that? Why wouldn't they put it in like they do, you know, with the new armoires? How
Hun,
you want to watch TV,
first
you open
of all,
it and
cause
slide a guy it on the
inside. Because a guy doesn't know how to spell armoire, let alone ever seen an armoire.
Yes.
And even if he did see an armoire, he wouldn't even know. He'd think he's looking at like a cabinet or something.
Why
wait,
would
wait,
you leave
I'm,
the door
I'm
hanging open?
Here. She has a good idea.
That's a
She's
great idea.
Right.
Oh, great.
This is a good
great,
idea.
Great.
Cases are
this
stupid.
Is a sexy,
yeah,
awesome
idea. Yeah, you just turned on Grant. Great. Thank you.
But the
no,
thing
seriously,
is,
doors on cases are stupid.
It's
if you
stupid.
Had a hideaway door on a case, that would
yes.
make sense.
And every woman would love it because, you know what, there wouldn't be that hanging door open. And then the other thing is, if I want to plug in my earphones, I have to leave the door hanging open unless they have the tiny little hole at the bottom that just has a little tiny door on its own. So see, that cuts down all of the cases to about 20. So now I have 20 cases to look at, and half of those look like a spider. Or, I mean, none of them just look like a plain, non-obtrusive square that I can put there that won't have something hanging open or dust
other than
spots.
An iMac.
New cases are very gaudy. I'll have to agree.
Well, I'm not saying that they're not gaudy, but I think trying to find the perfect case is almost impossible these days. Because there's always this one design flaw that's always incorporated, which I think is the scourge of every device manufacturer other than Apple.
Or if they use the top for something so that, or made it so that you can stack something on top of it and use it. So if you sit it down beside your desk, you know, they could have something on top to where you could put CDs on it, or just to make it useful.
Oh, see, that would drive
me
nuts.
Just sitting there, not
doing
anything.
I think where she's going is that IKEA needs to build computer cases.
Yeah, I think that's where she's heading right now. She just smacked right in the middle of that one. So, Grant, are you a hardware geek, or are you just more on the software side of things?
I'm more on the software side of things. I use hardware for what hardware is good for, and I don't really pay that much attention to it as far as, like, the newest, latest, greatest. As long as it works for me, I'm fine with it.
What do you use? Sorry.
What do I use? Mm-hmm. I have an old Toshiba laptop, probably 3 years, that is centrally connected to everything. I run it off of a 19-inch flat screen, which is my one concession to a nice piece of hardware, because your interface device should always be the nicest thing you own. I really have very minimal hardware, I have to say.
Do you keep all your MP3s? Of course, your legal MP3s. You don't have any illegal MP3s. Do you keep them all on a local drive, or do you go with a network drive? Because I'd imagine you've got thousands.
I do have those across the network. That is running on a Linux box, yes.
How many gigs do you have?
I think on the order of about 17 or 18.
Oh, my gosh.
That's not a lot. 17
Isn't
or 18 gigs?
Of music?
No, no, no.
It's really not.
That's not a lot of
how
music.
How many songs is that?
That's basically the entire Magnatune collection as it existed about a year ago, along with a bunch of stuff from CC Mixer and various stuff from different net labels on archive.org, like Comfort Stand or Sundays in Spring, stuff like that.
Now, do you take it to the level where you will only listen to CC artists?
Almost, but not quite.
Okay.
I still do have several bands that, you know, I could not live without that are major label artists, but they're pretty obscure major label artists, most of them. But I do mostly listen to Creative Commons music, I would have to say.
Like Moxie Fruvis.
Moxie Fruvis is a good one. Yeah, I haven't listened to them in years, but that would definitely have been a favorite years ago.
They're no longer together that I know of. They really haven't released anything for quite a few years.
I'm going to say I haven't listened to them since probably 2001.
Yeah.
Emmett Plant from flash.linux.com got me into them ages ago.
Oh, wow. No, I've known about them for years. They were actually – I learned about that band because of Trading Tapes. And I actually
–
it's a perfect example of, you know, hey, well, people strolling MP3s and they're not doing anything. That's BS. I mean, someone had sent me a tape. I met this person online. They said, hey, you've got to listen to this band. I'm like, really? You know, what are they like? And she kind of tried to explain Moxie Fruvis to me. They said, no, they got this great song, Green Eggs and Ham. You got to listen to it. I said, all right, so I'll give it a shot. And so she sent out the tape, and I'm listening to it. I'm like, man, this is great. And I've been a fan ever since. Bought all their CDs, went to their concerts, you know, totally talked about them, spread the word. And I wouldn't have learned about it had someone not given me the tape.
And that's the point behind the Creative Commons, as you're saying. Like, that is the point that I think is most important about sharing music under the Commons, is it makes fans for these bands that are evangelizing fans. People that will share the music with their friends, will talk up that band, and will gain more listeners. And when you do that on a wide scale, like if that's just you turning one or two people onto it, you know, that's three listeners. But if that's 100 people turning three or four of their friends onto it, you know, that's 300 or 400 listeners. And you take that out, like that snowball effect that, cumulative effect over time builds a much larger audience for these musicians than they would be able to without spending a lot of money on promotion or a lot of money touring. that sort of thing. So,
what do you think the labels are doing? I mean, they're sitting back there in their comfy chairs. The comfy chair, the comfy chair, the comfy chair, the comfy chair. Sorry, that was a Monty Python reference there.
Oh, here we go.
All right. So anyway, so do you think they're very scared? Really? I mean, is it really that big of a movement going on here?
I would like to think that the labels are scared. I like to think that things like the Sony DRM scandal recently shows us exactly how scared the labels are of what's going on. Because I think that they're becoming marginalized. It's going to take a long time. But I think that they see the writing on the wall and that their purpose in promoting the artist, their function in promoting the artist, and then taking the lion's share of the money from those things is dying. Like, I think that that's fading over time. And I really think that within the next couple of years, we will see some Creative Commons artists, it may be one, maybe two or three, that are competing on a level with those people. People that are savvy, know how to get their music out there, are using Creative Commons to their best advantage, and I really do think that that's where we're going. I want to see a Creative Commons artist, and I'm stealing this directly from Victor Stone, but I want to see a Creative Commons artist get a Grammy. That's my next thing I want to see, you know, in the world.
Do you think that'll be a separate category, or
I would hope not. I mean, I think that the artists under the Commons are many of them are fully of a quality that they could easily compete with what's on commercial radio. And so I would like that not to be a separate category. If it happens as a separate category, if that's the recognition that Commons artists get, that would be fine with me. That would be a small victory, but I would really like to see them compete in a best artist or best album category sort of thing.
What do you think about all the music services out there, like, you know, eMusic, Napster, as I had brought up a little earlier, all these services that are competing for our attention and trying to be friendly to us, but at the same time not being very friendly to us?
Right. I think they're a natural function of the music market as it exists. The labels have needed for years to wake up and realize that people are going to download music, that P2P networks are going to exist, everybody's going to want to sell their MP3 player however they can. So, I mean, I think that those are a natural function of where we're headed. There's so many players in that space right now, and I think that will boil down over time to two or three major players. Maybe a Rhapsody, Yahoo Music, Napster, whoever wins that market space, iTunes. But I think in the long run, those are going to have to either incorporate Creative Commons music or are going to face strong competition from places like Jamendo.
Now, what is it? Did you say Jamendo?
Jamendo is a French site. It is absolutely the coolest thing that anyone has done in the longest time.
Can you spell
it
for me?
Sort of Jamendo. Jamendo.
Jamendo. Sorry, I'm just for clarification purposes. I've never heard of this.
Sure. It's run by a guy named Sylvan Zimmer. He has created not only a site to showcase the music, but back-end tools for the artists that are very simple, that allow them to upload entire albums and create entire online albums with a minimum of technical savvy. And, I mean, I think that's a real important thing, is taking away the need to be some level of geek, some level of technophile to releasing and sharing your music online. I think that's an important thing to take away, and I think he's doing really good work in that space.
Wow. Seems like he is. I'm looking at... He's even got RSS for, just about anything.
Yeah, it's really sharp. It's fantastic. And there's a lot of great music up there.
Wow, that is looking nice. jamendo.com. How long has this been around?
I only found it a couple of months ago. I don't know how long he's been doing it. I know he's getting a lot of press lately. I think recently he's even been featured on a French television show. I think Creative Commons recently has offered him an internship for next summer that I think he's going to take, which would be really good.
Wow!
To get those two entities working together in a more tight fashion. But yeah, it's fantastic. I don't know exactly how long it's been around, but I hope it's around for a very long time.
Well, they say it's got over 380 hours of music right now. It's pretty substantial.
Yeah, it's amazing. It really is For what it is, and for the fact that it's being run by just a couple of people in their spare time, it's an amazing project. Hmm.
No, you're going to go through this year, and you're going to have completed at least 365 Creative Commons licensed songs. What's going to happen in 2007?
I think we'll do it all over again. I think with the level of success that this has seen so far, I mean, I think we'll definitely do this over again. Over the next year, I would really like to, and I've started doing this a bit, to expand indieish.com to include more news about the Creative Commons music sphere and interviews with Creative Commons personalities and musicians. But I mean, I think I'm looking forward to next year, if only for the fact that I can maybe start reusing a couple of artists and playing some of their other tracks that I love so much. That's one of the hardest things, is I vowed at the beginning of this not to reuse an artist all year long. And there's so much great music by some of these artists. Like, you know, it was so hard to pick one Brad Sucks song or one Tarou remix or one Victor Stone song. Like, it's really hard to pick one. So.
Now, what has your girlfriend been thinking? Has she been sitting going, hey, you know, dude, you're moving to Canada, you got no job, and you're playing free music online. Come on, dude. You know, what's going on?
My wife's been very supportive. She's fantastic. Catherine is absolutely amazingly supportive of everything that I do. And she's actually a writer. She's working on a book at the moment. So she kind of understands the working on intellectual pursuits that don't necessarily make you that much money.
Yep.
And so she's been very supportive. I'm very lucky to have her.
How long have you been married?
Since July of last year.
Oh, newlyweds.
See, she always tries to drag me into these personal questions.
What?
Okay,
being quiet again.
No, you don't have to be quiet. I'm just saying, you know.
It's kind of nice. You get the full picture.
Yeah,
of
I know
who he is. You know,
we're getting married in November. Grant,
but congratulations.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe that, huh? If you didn't know.
No, he probably thought we were already married the way we talk.
You can just call us the Bickersons for short.
No, that's what's important. Like, you know, if you sound like an old married couple when you're dating, you should really just get it over with and get married. Really.
That's what I say.
You know?
We are.
Yeah, I know, but you all want to be romantic and stuff. Never mind. Okay, so I gotta get out of this one, Grant. So you're going to keep doing this, and I've been listening when I can. I don't, unfortunately, have a lot of commute time since I work at home. But what you've passed down the pike so far has been pretty nice.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And we hope to
continue
that trend.
Yeah, I haven't listened to everything. Unfortunately, there's not enough time of the day. I mean, I know you want to keep, you know, serving more and showing more, but man, even a song, even, you know, that much a day is almost overwhelming.
Well, see, and that was really the reason that I went with a song a day kind of format. Like, I did the Revolution that I did all last year. I've continued to do some shows, and they're an hour long, generally. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't have that hour, you know, to sit and listen through an episode of The Revolution. And I really thank the people that have taken the time to sit down and listen to it. But I really wanted to make it more accessible. And that's the reason I'm doing this whole single serving format is, you know, okay, you don't have 5 minutes worth of commute time a day, but most people do.
Do you? Well, since you work at home, do you have a portable media player of sorts?
I do. I have a Moovo.
Okay. So you're not an iPod believer?
I'm not an iPod believer for the fact that I didn't want to get locked into iTunes. That was the defining thing for me.
Good reason. Very
good
reason.
The Moovo just shows up as a file system. I'm kind of a geek. That, like, it worked for me, so.
Well, you know, the iPod, there are packages of software out there that will actually allow you to interface with that iPod without using iTunes.
If it would make it show up as a drive letter, like, that would make me happy. That would work.
Think, since you're using Windows, take a look at, I don't know if it'll mount it as a drive, I don't know if it's MTP, but take a look at Red Chair Software. I think it's redchairsoftware.com. They've got a program called, what is it called? Pod something Explorer. I can't remember the exact word, but they've got a handful of software that actually, and I think they've got software that will actually help you interface with a Moovo as well, if you wanted to, and help you manage things. But yeah, take a look, redchairsoftware.com. Pod something Explorer.
Something like that would work for me. I have to say, I've been having a lot of iPod envy lately with the video iPod.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good new video content that's coming out that I think is really cool.
Yeah, Ponzi likes the idea, but you haven't really downloaded any videos for it.
I love that little thing. I have. I've downloaded a lot of blog videos, pod videos, sorry.
Here we go. Anapod Explorer is what it is. Explorer is the file that you're... I think they've got a demo, too, so you can try it.
Okay.
I mean, well, you don't really have an iPod, but you can at least kind of get a feel for... I think you should be able to get a feel for what's going on, or even borrow a friend's iPod. But yeah, that's alternative software that I learned about, and that was one of the only reasons why I even thought about even coming close to getting an iPod, but it's because of the management software, because I, like yourself, did not like iTunes.
Yeah. Well, and it's not so much not liking iTunes. iTunes is a really pretty program. It's got a nice interface. I just don't want to be locked into one specific program.
Hmm. I think that's very indicative to your whole effort, you know, not wanting to be locked into like what the music labels believe is good music. Being able to kind of open it up and see who else is creating things. And I think helping surface those artists, I think, is very commendable. And thank you, Grant, on behalf of everybody who enjoys listening to new music. If no one has thanked you before, let us be the first.
Yes, thank you.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, it's a complete labor of love kind of thing. So.
Well, it certainly isn't paying the bills.
I have a question.
True.
Sorry, I mean, not to be blunt or anything, but no, it shows. I mean, that only reinforces the kind of the concept behind
the
Creative Commons
it.
And the love and the passion mm-hmm. behind the music. So
you have to love it.
Yep.
I have a question.
All right.
Totally unrelated.
Sure.
Grant, what do you think of Howard Stern and FCC and the whole debacle there?
Well, I think it's been really good for Sirius Radio.
Good.
Which is something that I also love very much. I would not. You'll pry my Sirius Radio from my cold dead fingers. I think that's been. I don't know. I see it in two ways. I see that the FCC censorship of the terrestrial sphere has been a bad thing for the terrestrial sphere, but it's been a good thing for all the alternatives. And I say that much in the same way that I think that RIA lawsuits and the aggression of the RIA towards their customers has been a good thing for freely shareable music. It's those things that make people wake up and look for alternatives.
Why do you like Sirius so much? I mean, if you're taking it to your grave here.
Yeah, no, it's such a neat little device, and I've always been a big radio geek. Mm. I tell you, originally I bought it for the fact that there's three NPR stations. Because I love NPR talk stuff.
Okay.
I'm a big geek like that.
NPR
and the idea of being able to catch, reruns of This American Life every night.
I love that
was
show.
Worth the $12 a month for me, so,
Well, yeah, that's about the only show that they don't podcast that I wish they would.
I agree.
That's such a cool show. I really like that one.
Yeah, we've become big. We never really listened to talk radio until we moved to Seattle, and that's when we really started listening to NPR. And now I really can't imagine being in the car without listening to NPR.
That means we're getting old.
Well, Ira Glass is one of my heroes in life. Like, I mean, I just think he's such a cool guy.
He's going to be in Seattle.
Really?
Ira is, yeah. I don't know if he's come and gone now, but I believe I caught that. He's here with somebody else. Paula Poundstone, I think.
She's funny.
Speaking about a match...
All right.
You usually catch her on when she's on with she does a couple of the shows. I think she's been on Wait, and I think she's been on with Prairie Home Companion. As
she
well.
Does Wait a lot,
yeah,
and she's really good on that show. And she did do the annual joke show I think last year on Prairie Home. So.
It's just kind of weird. She's a comedian that I see popping up in NPR here and there. It's like weird, strange, but cool, but good. Not a political statement at all, whatsoever.
And so what else do you listen to as far as, like, talk radio besides NPR?
Let's see, you're on NPR. My absolute favorite show is definitely Wait and This American Life. I'm a complete car talk addict. Not necessarily for the car content, just because I'm a geek, and I think that the brothers that do that show are just very funny from a geek perspective. The bad dry humor makes me laugh, so...
Oh, God, I'm surprised you're not doubled over right now. Bad dry humor?
Yeah, well, okay. the kinds of things that they do.
Oh,
exactly.
Certainly. So, yeah, I think there's a space somewhere, maybe on the internet, maybe on a terrestrial station, for a car talk only for computer subject, like really geeky things.
I think you may have hit on something there, definitely. I really, I would love to see it. I've listened to it.
Are you offering me a job? Well, I'm asking.
I can't afford to pay for myself right
all
now.
All
right,
fine.
Don't open my pocket.
All right, fine, Grant. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, you've been really helpful tonight. No. Of course, I'm kidding. Thank you so much, though. Like I said, we certainly do appreciate the efforts. And I guess I am going to speak on behalf of the internet, because if no one else is going to bother to thank you, then certainly we will.
Live streaming of The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media and Limelight Networks. Download Windows Media Player 10 to listen to The Chris Perillo Show live every Thursday from 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific, GMT-8.